Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry in today for Lori Walsh. South Dakota is open for business. Governor Kristi Noem highlighted the state's business climate during her State of the State address yesterday in Pierre. She also touched on industrial hemp, meth treatment, and agriculture in her speech delivered in front of the South Dakota legislature. The Dakota political junkies are ready to discuss the governor's address. Joining us by phone today is John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. Welcome back, John.
Thanks, Jackie.
And joining our panel for the very first time is former South Dakota State Senator Tom Dempster, who represented District 9 for four terms. Prior to his time in the legislature, Dempster was a member and president of the South Dakota County Commissioners. Tom Dempster, welcome to In the Moment. Glad to have you as part of our Dakota Political Junkies.
Hey, Jackie. I'm delighted and honored to be here as well, especially to be on the line with you and my friend John Hunter. Hello, John.
Yeah, welcome, Tom. We're thrilled to have you.
Thank you very much.
And what a time to join on, because we have plenty of topics we can cover from yesterday's State of the State address, but I think I'll go one by one and maybe start with you, Tom, about what especially stood out to you from yesterday's address.
Well, Jackie, I don't know if you're going to let me do this, but would you let me step back just a little bit and and say that as a member of the legislature, the governor's State of the State address is absolutely key. It's absolutely significant, but it's not the purpose of the legislature coming together. This is a legislative session. And for those who have not had the pleasure of being in the state capitol during a legislative session, it is absolutely a marvel to behold. I mean, you've got 70 people from the House and all of their families. You've got 35 people from the Senate and all of their families. You've got the cabinet. You have the governor's staff. You have people from throughout South Dakota. I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of being in an electrical generation facility, but when you do, you just very quickly catch the power of a turbine. And that's exactly the sense that you have when you walk into this magnificent state capitol building that we have, is it just sounds, you've got the power of a turbine that seems to go every second that the legislature is in session. It's really something to behold. And I'll be done with this in a second, but we also have, I mean, one of the most beautiful state capitals in the country. When you walk in the rotunda, one of the things that you must do is you must gaze up at the dome, and you also have to gaze at the Greek mythological creatures that we have, or goddesses, I should say, that we have in the dome, all to celebrate this thing that we celebrate during a legislative session. Called this experiment that we continue to have in governing ourselves. So all of the pageantry, all of the richness, all of the meaning of governing ourselves becomes apparent at precisely the time when all of these people come together, and when the governor walks in the House of Representatives chamber and all rise to greet and meet the governor of the state of South Dakota. It is simply magnificent. Now I'm done with that, Jackie.
But, you know, you raise a point that I think is important. It's easily lost, particularly for us in the journalism industry, but also even in just your average citizenry, that, as you say, the ongoing experiment of governing ourselves. Sometimes it's easy to lose that sense of awe and when bodies come together to make these important decisions. So thank you for outlining that from your legislative perspective. I appreciate
it. You're welcome, Jackie. did I duck your question?
A little bit you did. Don't think I didn't catch it.
I'm not going to, but it's not my turn to speak right now.
Okay. Then, John, it goes to you. What did you hear? What stuck out to you yesterday?
Well, I appreciate Tom's perspective on that. Again, is with four terms there, he's been in the fire, and he's been in a lot of those committee meetings where you can feel the power of the turbine as well. So, but as far as Governor Noem's address, I think the word that came to me at least is kind of a consistent message. This is the things that she campaigned on, the things that she indicated in her last year's State of the State address, this year's State of the State budget. So it does. She's not bouncing around from topic to topic. There certainly was an economic development theme to this one, which frankly is consistent, I think, with her idea of being able to have a manage government effectively without tax increases. The only way that probably can occur is if the economy provides more tax revenue without raising tax rates. So I understand that, and we've seen some different styles of governors over the years being able to try to promote economic development in different ways, and so I'm encouraged that it's a focus for her. And she continues to hammer away on the broadband issue, and that's, I think, part economic development, part quality of life. Pheasant hunting is another focus that she had on that. That's been consistent throughout her both campaign and her first year in office. So there, I don't think there were any things that really surprised observers, but she continues to hammer away on the things that are important to her.
Mm-hmm. And Tom, what about you? Are there any, from that lawmaker's perspective, anything that sticks out to you as unique from this particular State of the State address?
A great question, Jackie. And it kind of gets to the heart of what can we do about economic development? What mm-hmm. capacity does the state of South Dakota or anybody, what capacity does the state of South Dakota to help us with respect to economic development? And as I heard the governor's ideas on economic development, here's what it came to. And again, I'm drawing way back a little bit, and it just goes to talk about classic liberal conservatism. Not the way that you use conservatism in today's world, mm-hmm. but what it has meant traditionally. That's the belief in natural rights, that we're all created equal. That's the belief in preserving the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that is the primary role of government, and that basically is what the governor has said. We want to do everything that we can in the state of South Dakota to produce a platform where you can do all of these things. Does that mean all sorts of economic incentives? Well, how about just the fundamental basics of, in South Dakota, you come, you can be yourself, we're created equal, all of these fundamental and really important things that many people have forgotten, but certainly stays in the tradition. Well, already the tradition of Governor Noem, Governor Dugard, Governor Rounds, and maybe less so Governor Janklow. It's, first of all, here's the platform, and the platform is an extraordinary, fundamental, and basic thing. Have at it.
Mm-hmm. And something I noted particularly in the beginning of the speech, with the focus again on broadband, the point made multiple times by Governor Noem being, you shouldn't have to choose between the small town life that you prefer and the world economy as it exists today.
I talked to my friend Greg Dean, who's with an association that represents a lot of our privately owned telephone companies. Mm. And I talked to Greg about it, and I said, "Isn't this a thing where I've got my internet and I've had it for a long time? It's high speed, it's fabulous. I just assume that everybody else has it. And what are you complaining about?" And he goes, "Yeah." He says that's exactly what it is. But apparently, there are some islands within South Dakota where you don't have access to high-speed internet. And what I think the governor is doing is taking a hypodermic needle and applying some economic incentives to those areas that can pick up private investment, and those areas that can also leverage that investment to pick up other Department of Ag subsidies and so on and so forth. So, I mean, I agree. I mean, John, it's very, don't take away my high-speed internet, and it's critically important that everybody have it. Mm-hmm. This makes sense.
And another point to the workforce development piece, perhaps, Governor Noem announcing intentions to open the state's Ready Fund to be available to workforce housing developments. John, I wonder if the housing shortage, as far as economic development is concerned, is something that you've covered through the Madison Daily Leader.
We have, and it's an interesting. I hadn't really thought of that. You know, there's a South Dakota Housing Authority, which has the ability to finance homes primarily through a first-time home buyers kind of thing too. But to open up the Ready Fund to that is, I think, something new. It actually, I think, probably makes sense, at least in Madison and most other communities that I'm aware of, is that you talk about bringing in jobs and housing instantly becomes a factor. Fortunately, we've been able to put some things together in Madison to do that, but it's surprising how quickly that housing stock gets picked up and the demand for more continues. The challenge, of course, is that how do you provide what some people would consider affordable housing? So in other words, low-priced housing or lower-priced with construction costs and both materials and labor being what it is. I mean, it's you can't kind of magically make one convert to the other. So it does require some sort of probably incentive or some sort of help. The Ready Fund, of course, is intended for economic development and has been since we raised the sales tax to fund it 30 years ago or so. And it has to have a return on that. But it can get down to low-interest loans. And if those are repaid and replenish the fund, then it's probably going to work. Nevertheless, it is not an easy problem to solve, and this initiative by itself won't be enough to fix the whole challenge.
Mm-hmm. And Tom, do you have anything to add on that end?
Well, I mean, this is a problem that's countrywide, whether you're in New York and you have rent restrictions, or whether you're in Los Angeles or whether you're in South Dakota, affordable housing is just a real problem. What government can do about that is have a single policy goal of increased housing, whether that means changing zoning restrictions, whether that means subsidies directly to developers so that they can develop the lower cost housing. I don't know, but for sure the goal is increase lower cost housing.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we had a nod to the Meth We're On It campaign within the last couple months. Governor Noem saying, whether you like the ads or not, I've heard story after story of people now talking about the problem. I'm curious from both of you, do you think we've missed the window from that, I guess you could say, viral bit of marketing, and now it's down to rubber meets the road? People aren't as excited about that, or do you think this will do what it was intended to do this session?
Well, if I may start, this is John.
Mm-hmm.
To get started, I think there was kind of that launch moment, and whether it was kind of silly and people made fun of us a little bit is a little bit beside the point. It is a problem, and this did get some attention.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't think it fades away instantly with the viral nature of those first ads. I think people are thinking about it. I think anyone who's paying attention to what's going on in their community, if they're reading their newspaper or if they're following any sort of court activities, will discover that it is a problem in South Dakota. It's a problem many places. But if we can get our some progress against it, the power of, I think the economic power of solving this problem would be tremendous. You know, that there are very heavy costs to it in incarceration and court costs and rehabilitation and counseling and all those kinds of things. It's a very costly problem in South Dakota. And then if you not only reduce those costs by solving this, but returning people to productive parts of society and the economy, I think it has a lot of potential. But no, I don't think people are going to, I don't think we've missed a window about people forgetting about this challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the same, Jackie. I think I'm about the only person that I know, we haven't talked about this, but I think I'm the only person I know that thinks that the I'm On Meth campaign is absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes everybody aware of the problem. It goes viral in this circumstance. The governor has The governor is smart. She's tough. She's nobody's fool. The fact that she's got the ability to take on a problem as difficult and as profound as this, especially when it's so difficult to solve, is really pretty remarkable, and I think takes a great deal of courage. How do you measure results? I'm not certain that I know, but I admire the courage that it takes to take this problem on head on and find solutions. I was at a chamber legislative introductory session where I think 10, 12, 15, 20 different legislators spoke, and I'm going to guess that probably 50 to 60% of them all talked about human services, all talked about addiction, and all talked about the meth problem. A very effective campaign.
Right.
Courageous.
Yes. And I'll even say in the last week I made the trip from Sioux Falls to Rapid City and back, and even along I-90 there's billboards related to the campaign, and you know, I'm thinking about it still, even though the kind of media storm has died down, and now we'll see as we move into session what steps are actually taken.
Yeah.
Jackie, may I follow on to something Tom just said, and that's about human services and all the things that go with that. And I've said that on this program before. I think among the challenges with this is finding and training enough counselors to handle the problem. I think the Human Services Center in Yankton is understaffed. I think probably every drug counseling location or venue in South Dakota probably has more demand than staffing for. And so we might have to step back when you're talking about higher education or some sort of incentives is to encourage young people to go into counseling or adults for a career change to go into, because there's a huge demand for it. And again, the power of helping reduce the problem can be tremendous. I think it could be a real boon for South Dakota if we can make substantial improvements.
Yeah. Very interesting point. We've just got a couple minutes left, but I want to make sure we touch on industrial hemp. What are we anticipating based on yesterday's State of the State address? John, I'll jump to you first, and then Tom will end with you.
Well, Tom will clarify what I'm saying.
I don't think so, John. Thanks. Thanks for being so optimistic and kind.
Well, the truth is I think Governor Noem still opposes industrial hemp, but realizes that the world has changed since she opposed it a year ago, and both federal regulations and tribal kinds of things going on. So I think she said, okay, that's where this is going. Let's do our best to reduce the challenges of this, and she calls them guardrails. I think it's a good analogy, is to try to get this thing kind of under control and to somehow have the industry itself fund its own regulation or compliance that goes with that. I don't know how that's going to go during the course of the session. I think she still opposes it. I think a number of South Dakotans still oppose it, but saying this is the world where we are, and the feds have allowed this, and it's the train has left the station. Let's do our best to make it a good situation, something that maybe we didn't want, but let's make the best of it.
Mm-hmm. And Tom, what are your thoughts?
I agree. I mean, we're now in the legislative session. What happens in the legislative session is policy is articulated by bills that are dropped. It's going to be very interesting to see what the governor's bills are. It's going to be very interesting to see what some of these hemp bills look like. And I think, as John mentioned, especially what the guardrails are, and with the industry paying the costs that are incurred as a result of this change in public policy, if indeed it happens.
My guests today have been our Dakota Political Junkies for the Week, reviewing yesterday's State of the State address from Peer. John Hunter with the Madison Daily Leader, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Jackie.
And former South Dakota State Senator Tom Dempster, thanks to you as well.
Yeah, thank you, Jackie.